Tonight. Murders in Windhelm. Multiple young women killed. A wrongful imprisonment and a killer on the loose. Can this killer be caught? Find out right now. My name is Mr. Navins, and this is Skyrim True Crime. Windhelm is a snowbound city that is no stranger to tragedy. The city dates back to the ancient Nords in the Morithic era. It was built by enslaved snow elves and was not just the first capital of Skyrim, but the capital of the First Empire. When the First Empire collapsed in the War of Succession, Windhelm was destroyed for the first time. Now, tragedy is once again on Windhelm's doorstep. There is a civil war in Skyrim. The rebellion wants to get away from the religious persecution of the Thalmor. The best way the rebellion sees to do that is to have Skyrim secede from the Empire. The leader of the rebellion is the Jarl of Windhelm, Ulfric Stormcloak.
I fight for my people, impoverished to pay the debts of an empire too weak to rule them, yet brands them criminals for wanting to rule themselves!
Most of Windhelm's resources are going towards the war efforts. The streets are patrolled by a small fraction of the normal number of guards. The town is quiet. Smoke from the small firelights and snow flurries wisp through the air. There is the occasional chatter, crunching snow, and footsteps on the cobbles as shops close down. But then, back to peace. Screams and cries for help break the silence. A guard and a few people nearby race to the cemetery where they find a gruesome scene. A bloodied, mutilated body laying among the tombstones. The victim is Susanna the Wicked. Susanna the Wicked was a waitress at Candlehearth Hall. Her name is an inverse reflection of her personality, like Grelud the Kind. As we all know, Grelud was not so kind. And you see where that got her.
It's Grelud. Oh. Someone has killed Grelud!
Susanna was loved by the people of Windhelm. She could light up a room. She was a friend to her co-workers, a good chat and a caring smile to the patrons of Candlehearth. She spent her free time driving a progressive movement by showing sympathy to the Dunmer and Argonians.
How can Elda hate the Dark Elves when she knows so little about them?
For the dark times in Windhelm, Susanna was, without a doubt, a beacon of hope. Susanna's light was snuffed out. Her body cut up, then thrown aside. Helgrid, Windhelm's cryptkeeper, was already examining the body. Susanna's money was still in her purse, so she wasn't robbed. But the cuts on her body were made by embalming tools. As she prepares the body for burial, Helgrid suggests the killer is very methodical and precise. Two other people reached the scene before the guards. One was Silda the Unseen. But she arrived after the killer had already run off. The other was Calixto Corium. This hits close to home for Calixto. His sister Lucilla passed away not too long ago. Lucilla is remembered as a lovely woman by the people who knew her, and Calixto's best friend. Brother and sister, adventuring around Tamriel, plundering ruins, collecting artifacts, and simply enjoying their time together.
As we journeyed across Tamriel, we encountered tales of exotic and wondrous artifacts. We decided to collect as many as we could. My sister passed away some years ago, so I settled down here and opened the House of Curiosities. I think she would be happy to know that our collection has brought smiles to faces both young and old.
Remembering his sister in these tales has been a coping mechanism for Calixto. Calixto did see the killer run off, but didn't get a good look at them. However, there is a trail of blood leading away from the scene. Blood-stained snow runs along the streets of the Valenstrad district. It's not clear if it's Susanna's blood or the killer's blood, but we hope it's the latter. The trail comes to an end at the doorstep of Hyrum, a grand manor built in ancient Nordic architecture. Although it now sits dark and cold, a hollow shell of the home it once was. You see, this house was owned by the Butcher's first victim, Frigga Shattershield. Ownership of the house fell to the Shattershield family and has sat abandoned ever since. Shatter is a fitting word for this family. When the Dragonborn went to the Shattershield home to request permission to enter Hyrum, another tragedy was discovered. Tova Shattershield, Frigga's mother, was found lying dead on the floor in her bedroom with a suicide note next to her body. Tova could not bear the death of both of her daughters. Frigga had a twin sister, Nilsine, who was also murdered recently. Horrifyingly, someone broke into the Shattershield house and slit Nilsine's throat. Some believe that the Butcher was targeting both of the Shattershield twins. But so far, the guards don't believe that. Nilsine's murder was quick and brazen, like a hired hit, an assassination. Nilsine had ties to the leader of a bandit clan, but that's all the guards know. The Dragonborn found the patriarch of the Shattershield family, Torbjorn, in Candlehearth. He was drunk. He was aware of his wife's death, but didn't bother telling the guards. He also doesn't care about the investigation, thinking there is nothing else for the Butcher to take from him. Torbjorn is rarely sober these days. All he does now is work to fund his drinking. This is all very dark and bleak, and the Butcher still has two more victims. Fjotli Cruelcy was the second victim. Her murder was consistent with Frigga's and Susanna's with the cuts and everything. However, her coin purse was empty. The official story is she was killed by the Butcher, then a thief looted her body before the guards found her. Her father believes she was murdered by the thief, so he set out to hunt the thief down. He found an Altmer who was the leader of a gang rivaling the Thieves Guild and killed him. In Fjotli's father's eyes, justice has been served. The final victim was Isabella, an aspiring bard. Isabella didn't have many friends or family in Windhelm. She mostly kept to herself but greeted everyone she met with a kind smile. She enjoyed spending her time reading and writing. It was her dream to join the Bard's College, and she found a job working for the Bard Adonato. Adonato writes historical dramas about Skyrim legends, and his latest book, Olaf the Dragon, was far behind schedule. Isabella was helping him finish the book in the time crunch. Sadly, no one realized poor Isabella was missing until she didn't show up for work for a few days. Adonato asked around, and she was found dead, butchered in her own home. Two cups of tea were set out. It appears she was hosting the Butcher as a guest, a monster preying on a kind soul alone in a big city. The Dragonborn obtained a key to Hyrum and entered the manor. The house was dark and decrepit, hadn't been touched since the Shattershield family moved out Frigga's personal effects. The blood trail continued throughout the house. A wooden chest was tucked in the corner of the room. It was covered in multiple stains of blood. Some were red and damp, and others were dried brown. The chest contained a journal entry of the butcher. We won't read the whole entry here, but basically, the butcher was trying to create, or build, a woman. He was a student at the College of Winterhold for a short time, wanting to study some twisted form of necromancy. When the college didn't offer what he was looking for, he decided to forge his own path of study and use young women of Windhelm as his subjects. There is also a list of items he was collecting: bone, flesh, blood, marrow, and tendons, all building up to, quote, create my greatest triumph. The language of the journal suggests he was enjoying himself, using terms like swimmingly and most exquisite. The butcher being pleased could mean he is enjoying the process, making progress in developing a new form of necromancy, or both. The most exquisite remark was referring to Susanna's joints. Continuing through Hiram, the Dragonborn found a secret room through a doorway that was hidden by a wardrobe. The scene was gruesome. Body parts laid out on a large table and blood was everywhere. There were embalming tools just as the Crypt Keeper Helgrid suggested, and another journal entry showing the exact list of body parts he needs and a procedure for the experiment. The procedure is confusing, to say the least. It's debated on what to do with the procedure. Give copies to the mages of Skyrim, or destroy it, preventing others from trying to replicate the butcher's work. Either way, with the butcher's hideout discovered and his plans taken, the Dragonborn is right on the heels of the butcher. One final thing of interest in Hiram: a strange amulet. A pendant with a metal skull on an emerald background. It's enchanted. It's unclear what the enchantment is, but it hinders the health and stamina if one were to wear it. The Dragonborn circles back to the witness Calixto. With his museum and career as an adventurer, maybe he has seen such a thing. Calixto is pleased to assist with the investigation, and he has seen this amulet before.
Ah, yes. This is the Wheelstone. It's an heirloom symbol of the power of Windhelm. Traditionally, it's carried by the court mage.
It's left unspoken that we have a crack in the case. Windhelm has its own sleuth. Since the guards are occupied with the war, this person has been investigating the murders from the beginning: Viola Giordano. Miss Giordano has been leaving flyers all over the city requesting citizens to come to her if they see anything suspicious. Interestingly enough, the butcher has been collecting these flyers and stashing them in Hiram. The Dragonborn caught up with Miss Giordano, and she also believes the butcher is Windhelm's court wizard, Wunferth.
There have been rumors swirling about him for years, as long as I can remember. But he's a dangerous man. That's why they call him the Unliving. I wouldn't approach him directly. This information needs to go straight to the steward.
The steward, Yorlif, collects any available guards and swiftly arrests Wunferth. Wunferth is dragged away to the barracks, screaming that he's innocent and that he's been conducting his own investigation. But the murderer's lies fall on deaf ears. Wunferth is safely locked away in his cell. The butcher has been caught, and Windhelm sleeps a little easier tonight, knowing the killer has been brought to justice. Or has it? 3 days later, a fifth woman was found dead outside of Candlehearth, her bloodied body mutilated then discarded, lying in the snow. Her name was Aravanya. Aravanya worked the stables with her husband, but she hated dealing with the horses. To escape the stench and get around people, she spent her evenings at Candlehearth. The news spread like wildfire through Windhelm. Wunferth was still in his cell. The butcher had slipped through the Dragonborn's fingers like a ghost. In the eyes of the steward, however, The case is closed, and he won't release Wunferth. The guards tell the Dragonborn they've made a horrible mistake and need to find the real butcher for the sake of Windhelm and Wunferth. Wunferth yelled as he was being dragged off that he's been conducting his own investigation. The Dragonborn makes a visit down to the barracks. Wunferth is understandably not pleased, but is eager to help. The Dragonborn hands him the Wheelstone amulet that got him convicted. Only, this is not the Wheelstone amulet. Wunferth examines the amulet and determines this is the Necromancer's amulet. An incredibly rare relic created by the King of Worms, Manimarco. The Necromancer's amulet makes you wise beyond your years in the School of Conjuration, but at a terrible price. The amulet drains your health and stamina. Ironically, an amulet that helps resurrect the dead slowly kills its wearer. Manimarco was a powerful mage that studied with the Sigic Order in the Second Era, but cast out due to the dark depths of his necromancy studies. He started a cult to destroy the Mages Guild that ultimately led to his death during the Oblivion Crisis. Yes, Manimarco was that old. His time with the Sigic Order to the Oblivion Crisis was over 1,000 years. Manimarco had his hand in many major events in history, and his goal was to be on the same level of fame and power as the Daedra Molag Bal. His amulet is not stable in this realm. It pops in and out of existence and hops around different physical locations in the world. One day, it was found and utilized by the Butcher. Wunferth explains what he knows from his cell. Based on his theories, the Butcher will strike again in the Stone Quarter tonight. The Dragonborn takes position between the cemetery and the market at dusk. The Butcher seems to attack towards the closing time of Candlehearth. Many people walk by, heading home after a night out. A lone woman walks by, followed by a shadowy figure wielding a knife. The Dragonborn intervenes before the Butcher could strike, and the Butcher attacks. The Dragonborn fights back and kills the Butcher, where so many other women were killed. On the streets of the Stone Quarter. Pulling back the figure's hood reveals the Butcher really is Calixto Corium. Calixto, the witness who tried to throw off the investigation. In searching Calixto's museum, his final journal entry was found. Calixto was diving deep into necromancy, collecting female body parts and utilizing the necromancer's amulet to resurrect his deceased sister, Lucilla. His coping turned destructive. He just wanted to see his sister again, whatever the cost. Calixto was a monster, there's no doubt about that. But he was also a friend to so many people. In a way, people are also mourning the death of a friend, even though they are happy the Butcher has been stopped. It's a tragic ending to a terrorizing story. The steward commends the Dragonborn as a hero, and the innocent Wunferth is released from his cell. It's still a dark night in Windhelm, but for sure this time, the city can sleep easy tonight. Researching this video was really interesting because I played this quest in episode 47 of my Skyrim Let's Play and got Wunferth sent to prison and thought that was it. I tried some vigilante justice and turns out Calixto is a non-killable character. at least for now. I've learned from this that the quest is not over, and we'll continue the quest in a future episode. So please stick around and subscribe for that and future lore videos. With that being said, thank you so much for watching and listening. I hope that you enjoyed. I am Mr. Navins, and I'll see you in the next one. So as I was proofreading the script, I noticed that Fjotli, the second victim, her father killed an Altmer, who was the leader of a group rivaling the Thieves Guild. Manimarco was killed, and he was an Altmer leader of a group rivaling the Mages Guild. And the Jarl of Windhelm would ultimately love to destroy the Thalmor, a group of Altmer rivaling the Empire. It definitely seems we have a trend here of groups of Altmer rivaling human groups, just to ultimately be taken down. Maybe the two former examples are foreshadowing the demise of the Thalmor? I don't really have a point for this, just an observation. See you in the next one.